present a seaside saga of post-war peer perpetuation written by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles, starring John LeMessurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges in...
Sticks and Harper Marks!
The time, 1948. The place, Framborne-on-Sea, somewhere on the south coast.
There you are, Frank.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hodges. I must say I was ever so surprised to hear from you again, of all people.
Ah, it's just a friendly gesture.
Your gestures weren't very friendly in the Home Guard days. When you were the chief warden, Captain Mannering used to say that he couldn't make up his mind who he hated the most, you or Herr Hitler.
He always did have a sense of humour.
I don't think he was joking. I don't think he liked you at all. Especially when you used to call him Napoleon and the rest of us hooligans.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. How long is it now?
How long is what now?
How long is it since those days at Warmington?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, war's been over nearly 3 years now, hasn't it?
There you are, then. That's all in the past. Here, you sure you don't want anything stronger than that orange squash?
Oh, no, thank you, no. I never touch alcohol at lunchtime. It makes me go all silly during the afternoon. Oh, did you bring me a straw?
Yes. So you're working at Woolies now?
That's right, yes. After Mr. Mannering retired from the bank at Warmington, and Uncle Arthur was offered the chance of becoming manager over here at the Framborne branch, Mum decided we might as well have a change of scenery as well.
Oh, so you and your Mum moved over here?
That's right. Yeah. Actually, I think she rather missed Uncle Arthur. They're quite good friends, you know.
Yeah, I remember now. What about you, though? Don't you ever miss the big world of banking?
Not really. It was all right, but I don't think I had the necessary dedication, and the striped trousers didn't suit me.
How are you doing at Woolies, then?
Oh, not too bad. I'm a trainee, deputy, assistant, under-manager. In ironmongery.
Sounds very impressive.
No, it's not really. A bit dull, actually. What are you doing these days?
Well, I've still got the old greengrocers at Warmington, but in the last couple of weeks or so, I've been seriously thinking about another little project over here at Framborne.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, mind you, I'd need a partner for that.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, that's why I got in touch with you. It might be right up your street.
Mm-hmm. How exciting. I've always fancied myself as a high-powered tycoon. Oh, I bent me straw.
Never mind. Drink it out the glass.
Oh, yeah, that's an idea. Cheers. Hey, wait a minute. There's something strange here.
What's the matter? Is your orange juice too strong?
No. I mean, why on earth would you want me as a partner?
Well, the point is, Frank, for this project to succeed, I need to have someone rather special with me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone with the right connections.
And have I got the right connections?
Oh, yes, very definitely.
Is it something to do with my ironmongery?
No, not quite, but you might say brass does come into it.
What's it all about, then?
Well, it's like this. I don't know whether you ever read the Framborne Gazette,
mm-hmm.
but a couple of weeks ago, there was an article.
Come in.
Good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Ah, good morning, Miss Perkins. Is that the mail?
Yes, sir. And a list of your appointments for this morning.
Ah, thank you, Miss Perkins. Why is this letter still unopened?
Well, it's special.
Oh, you mean special delivery?
No, just special. It's for you, sir, from me. A little card.
Oh, really? Well, it's not my birthday.
I know, that's in April. Or rather, I think it is.
Oh, how nice. An old sailing ship.
Frigate.
I beg your pardon. Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Yes. I still don't understand, though.
I've written on the inside.
Oh, yes, sir, you have. Happy anniversary. Oh, how very nice.
Thank you.
What anniversary?
Yours, sir. Exactly a year ago today, you arrived at Framborne to take over as manager of this branch of Swallows Bank.
Good Lord, was it a year ago? How's you remembering that?
Oh, I couldn't possibly forget it, sir. It's been absolutely marvellous since you took over.
Well, I'm very glad to hear it. And thank you for the card.
Now, these appointments now. Mr. Harris was coming in first this morning, wasn't he?
He was, sir, but he rang yesterday and said he wouldn't be able to make it after all. Something about a sudden bereavement.
Not his own, presumably.
You do have a very dry sense of humour, you know.
Oh, really? Do I?
Oh, just the sort I like a man to have.
Oh, well, it's not really that dry. Anyway, does that mean I don't have a first appointment this morning?
Oh, no, sir. After Mr. Harris cancelled, another gentleman phoned, a new customer, and said he wanted to see you, so I put him in instead.
Oh, I see. Well, you better wheel him in.
Very good, sir. His name's Pike.
Thank you, Miss Perkins. Well, just a minute.
Sir?
Not Frank Pike, that is, Mr. F. Pike, by any chance?
Yes, actually, I think it is, sir.
Good Lord. Well, I suppose it must be him. So it's very odd indeed.
Sounds fishy, does it, sir? Oh, Pike, fishy. I'm sorry about that, a little joke there.
Oh, yes. Awfully funny.
Not up to your standard, I'm afraid. Do you think you know the gentleman in question?
Oh, well, I have a vague recollection. I think he may be the son of an old friend of mine. Mind you, I haven't seen either of them for some time, so you better ask him to come in.
Yes, sir. He's just outside.
Right.
Oh, Mr. Pike, Mr. Wilson will see you now.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Uncle Arthur.
Good morning, Mr. Pike. Oh, well, must be ages since we last met. When was it now?
Last night.
Ah, yes. Well, thank you, Miss Perkins. That'll be all.
Yes, sir.
What on earth are you doing here, Frank?
I made an appointment.
Well, yes, I know that, but I still don't understand. I mean, I had supper with you and Mavis, your mother, yesterday at your home, and you didn't say then you'd made an appointment to see me this morning.
I didn't want Mum to know.
What?
And I didn't get a chance to tell you after supper because Mum sent me to bed early. Oh, by the way, I found your pyjama bottoms on the bathroom towel rail this morning. What were they doing in our house?
They'll be the ones your mother kindly laundered for me. I expect she was airing them.
Why weren't they in the airing cupboard then?
Well, it was probably full.
No, it wasn't, because I got a clean pair of pants out this morning. It was practically empty. Anyway, they were all creased.
Your pants?
No, your pyjama bottoms.
Well, perhaps she hasn't ironed them yet.
She always irons them before she airs them.
Well, I don't know, anyway. I'm a very busy man, Frank. I can't sit here all the morning talking about bottoms and pants. Now, why did you want to see me?
I want to talk to you about money.
Oh, I see.
I want to take mine out of the post office, put it into Swallow's bank, and let you look after it for me. There.
What sort of amount are we talking about, actually?
Well, I've got £1.17 and 6 in savings bank.
Oh, my word.
And I've got a post office savings account as well. That pays 2.5% interest, you know.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it, but really, Frank,
I've got my post office book here. Look for yourself.
No, it's all right.
Go on, have a look. Go on.
All right, if you insist. The thing is, Frank, do you really think it's worth you losing the interest on £380?
Don't forget the 17 shillings and threepence. Oh, I've also got £28 under my mattress. I've forgotten about that until Mum told me to press my trousers the other day.
Oh, well. You seem to have accumulated quite a reasonable little nest egg.
I suppose I have. Bit by bit. Anyway, what do you say? Can I open an account?
Well, yes, I suppose so. But Frank, just because we've known each other fairly well for a number of years, we went through all that home guard stuff with Captain Mannering,
mm-hmm.
we must still maintain a manager-customer relationship here at the bank.
Oh, yes, of course, Uncle Arthur.
Well, for a start, that means you don't call me Uncle Arthur.
Well, no, of course not. I'll just call you Arthur. How's that?
No, it's got to be Mr. Wilson, and I shall treat you, just like all my other customers, and call you Mr. Pike.
Why do you call them all Mr. Pike?
Oh, no. Right.
I see what you mean.
Yes. Well, you'll get your money out of the post office and we'll open an account for you here. Now, I better get on because I've got a busy day ahead of me.
Uncle Arthur, Mr. Wilson, I haven't finished yet. I want to talk to you about a loan. A bank loan.
A loan? But you haven't even opened your account yet.
Oh, no.
loan, but I want to buy something.
Yes, well, that's generally why people want a loan.
And it's urgent.
Well, it's a bit unorthodox, but still, what sort of figure have you got in mind? I mean, £100,
£200?
£2,500. That's an awful lot of money.
I know. But it's a sort of business venture. Oh, please, Uncle Arthur, it's a chance of a lifetime.
Yes, well, that may well be, but there's really no way...
Please, Uncle Arthur.
All right. Well, I suppose there's no harm in taking down a few details.
No, that's right.
Right, now, purpose of loan?
I want to buy Framborne Pier.
Uh-huh. Wants to buy Framborne Pier. Just a minute. Did you say you want to buy the pier?
Well, half of it, yes.
But what do you mean, half of it?
Well, my partner and me are going to buy it together. 50-50.
Oh, no, don't be so ridiculous. Anyway, the pier's closed, isn't it? I mean, it has been since the war.
That's right.
And the middle bit's missing, isn't it?
We can put that back.
Yes, but why, Frank? Why?
Well, if we don't, we won't be able to get to the other end.
Why on earth do you want to buy a broken-down old pier?
Because it's part of our heritage. And yet it's lying there, closed, rusting and rejected. It's not right, Uncle Arthur. It should be open again for everyone to enjoy.
Yes, I know. It's all very commendable, Frank. But why you?
Because I'm fed up with having to be at the beck and call of other people. Fed up with being an employee. And another thing, when Mr. Mannering used to call me a stupid boy, that really upset me, because I'm not stupid. Far from it. All I want is the chance to prove that I can do better for myself. Up to now, I haven't had that chance. I've been working for somebody else all my life.
But you are only 22.
The council have lost interest in that pier, Uncle Arthur. If nobody buys it, they're going to demolish it, and it'll be your fault.
My fault?
Yes, yours. You'll have stood aside and watched Framborne Pier become a heap of rubble and twisted metal.
It's not far off that now.
It's no laughing matter, Uncle Arthur. For the sake of a measly £2,500, you'll have killed Framborne Pier and stopped me making a success of my life. In which case, you might have two deaths on your hands.
Oh, that was a ridiculous thing.
I must have that money. You've got to give me that money. You've got to give me that money. I need the money. Give me that money. Give me the money.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, should I call the police? Has he got a gun?
Yeah, perfectly all right, Miss Perkins. Perfectly all right, thank you. Mr. Pike and I are just having a little chat.
All right, sir, if you say so.
Now, look, Frank.
Yes.
Just calm down.
Yes.
Before I can give a customer a loan, I have to satisfy myself on certain important points. Otherwise, the bank might lose its money and then head office would be down on me like a ton of bricks.
Are you saying you're not going to give me a loan?
Yes, Frank, I'm afraid I am.
Right. Well, I didn't want to mention this, but it looks as if it's the only way.
What exactly are you talking about, Frank?
In a nutshell, blackmail.
What do you mean, blackmail?
All right, Uncle Arthur, I'll level with you. I'll give it to you straight.
Really, Frank, what do you think you are, James Cagney?
No, but I reckon you must think you're Errol Flynn.
What are you talking about?
Well, on our haberdashery counter, there's a girl called Barbara.
Hmm?
And she's told me something very interesting about you, very interesting indeed.
Well, I don't know anybody called Barbara.
Maybe not. But perhaps Barbara's surname will mean something to you.
Possibly. What is it?
Smith. Now, does that ring a bell?
Several, actually. There's Charles Smith at the Golf Club, Albert Smith, the newsagent, Peter Smith, the accountant.
I'm talking about a Lady Smith.
Well, the only Lady Smith I know is the one that got relieved.
I don't mean lady in that sense. I mean a female Smith, to be precise. Barbara's mother, Gloria Smith. I understand she got relieved, in a way.
Oh, I see, yes. That Smith, yes. Yes, charming woman.
Yes. Barbara said the two of you seemed to get on pretty well. It was when you first came over to Framborne, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right, it was, yes. I was looking for a place to stay for a few weeks whilst I found somewhere permanent, and I answered her advert.
And her prayers, by all accounts. Her being a lonely widow. You must have been just what the doctor ordered.
It was only for the first month. Anyway, there was nothing in it.
Oh, yeah?
Well, virtually nothing.
Really? Well, since my mum and you have been such good friends over the years, why did you never tell us you were staying with an attractive widow?
Well, she wasn't all that attractive. Mind you, in a certain light, she could look rather... Well... No, what I mean.
No, but I can guess. The thing is, I wonder what my mum would say if somehow she happened to find out about Gloria.
Now, look, Frank, On reflection, I think perhaps you do deserve a chance to try your hand at something new. So, I'll give you a loan, but for goodness sake, don't let me down.
Oh, don't worry, Uncle Arthur, I won't, and thank you very much. I'm sorry about the blackmail bit, but at least it proves I'm not that stupid.
Yes, it does indeed.
Oh, one last thing. Can you meet me at the town hall on Friday morning?
Don't tell me you're running for mayor as well.
No, of course not. Well, not yet, anyway. No, that's when my partner and I have got our meeting with the town clerk.
What meeting?
The one we fixed for 11 o'clock. That's when they'll ask us all about our plans for the pier and look into our status and that sort of thing.
Well, why have I got to be there?
Cranbourne.
Well, no, I don't think I really want to get involved.
Of course they might not think quite so highly of you if they happen to find out about Gloria Smith.
Gloria Smith. Mm. Mm. Yes. 11 o'clock, did you say?
Yes.
Yes, I think I shall be able to make that.
Thank you, Uncle Arthur. I knew you'd help us.
Somehow, I'm sure I'm going to regret it. By the way, you keep talking about your partner. Who is that, exactly?
Oh, you know him.
Really? Well, who is it?
He's that chap who used to be the chief warden at Warmington. Bert Hodges.
What? Not that awful greengrocer.
That's right.
Oh, I knew I'd regret it. I just knew it. I knew I'd regret it.
What's the time now, Uncle Arthur?
Huh? 10 past.
Mr. Hodges is late.
It doesn't surprise me.
Still, at least they haven't called us in yet. Where'd you get that magazine from?
Huh? Off that pile over there.
What is it?
It's the October 1936 edition of The Taxidermist.
Doesn't sound very interesting.
No, it's not exactly riveting. But it was either this or a 1933 copy of the Embalmer's Weekly.
Oh, look, Uncle Arthur!
Well, what is it?
Coming down the corridor. Hmm? Mr. Hodges.
Oh, yes, so it is. He looks just the same, doesn't he? I suppose it was too much to hope for a transformation.
Hello there, you two.
Hello, Mr. Hodges.
Long time no see, eh, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, yes, it is. Mm.
Yeah, you haven't changed much.
No. Nor have you.
I can just imagine what you said when you found out that I was Frank's partner.
Can you really?
Yeah. Not that awful greengrocer.
Well,
isn't that funny, Uncle Arthur? That's just what you said. Oh!
Frank. Right. Just be quiet, please. Well, good Lord, look, it's a quarter past now. Perhaps they've forgotten all about us. Or perhaps they've decided to demolish the pier after all.
Do you know what you're saying? That pier was built in 1866 by Eugenius Birch.
Who?
Eugenius Birch, one of the greatest pier designers ever. Eastbourne, Brighton, Margate, they're all his.
Really, I had no idea. Well, I expect they're just running late.
Perhaps something really important has cropped up.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, some important decision that has to be made.
This is Cranbourne Town Hall, Parky, not the Nuremberg trials. No, it's blatant inefficiency, that's what it is. If we weren't so keen to buy it, I'd tell them to stuff their pier right...
The town clerk will see you now, gentlemen. Oh, well, I'm afraid we're almost half an hour late.
Oh, are you? We hadn't noticed, have we, fellas?
No, not at all.
Yes, we had. You were just
Yes, of course.
I was just saying how busy everybody here must be.
Yeah, well, anyway, come in, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, after you. You go ahead.
Thank you, Uncle.
All
right. This is Mr. Hodges and Mr. Pike.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name's Hunter, and I'm the town clerk, and, Hello, Arthur.
Good morning, Charles.
What on earth are you doing here?
Well, that really is an awfully good question.
He's our financial advisor.
Is he?
Am I?
Oh, well. Forgive me for asking, Mr.
Pike.
Pike. But haven't we met recently?
I don't think so.
Hold on, I've got it. I was getting a present the other day for my little nephew. Weren't you on the toy counter at Woolworths?
Oh, yes, that's right.
It's rather a big jump from toys to running a pier, isn't it?
Not really. I'm usually on ironmongery.
Oh, jolly good. Now, may I introduce Mr. Rawlings? He's the entertainments officer.
Stephen, you're looking well.
Oh, thank you, Arthur. Nice to see you.
And Mr. Short, the borough treasurer.
Yes, of course. How are you, Percy? How are your geraniums this year?
Thanks, Arthur. My geranium's doing fine.
And what about your hibiscus?
Oh, bigger than ever.
Really?
Look, I'm sorry to interrupt this fascinating horticultural debate, but do you think we could get down to the matter in hand?
Good idea. Well, now then, Arthur, I understand you wish to purchase our pier.
Well, not me, really. It's Mr. Hodges and Mr. Pike. I'm merely an observer.
I see. Well, now, gentlemen, you realise the pier will need quite a lot doing to it.
Oh, yes, but there's a lot of potential there. I mean, it's an historic monument.
That's right. It was built in 1066 by Ignoramus Burke.
Look. Just let me do the talking, Frank.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm not saying it's not going to need a lot of hard work, but that pier can be a real asset to this town. It sticks out a mile.
Half a mile, actually.
What'd you say, Uncle Arthur?
I said the pier sticks out half a mile.
Oh, that's funny. Did you hear that, Mr. Hodges? He said it sticks out half a mile.
Yes, well, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Gentlemen, I tell you, all that pier needs is a man of foresight and initiative, a brilliant organiser and a leader of men.
Well, possibly, but where would we find such a man?
He's right in front of you.
Oh, but surely Mr. Wilson would be too busy at the bank.
Not in me! Sell me that pier and I'll make it into something Framborne can be proud of.
Tell me, Mr. Hodges, what sort of plans do you have for the pier?
Plans? My associate and me, we've got extensive plans.
Hey, Uncle Arthur, I've never been an associate before.
Could you be a little more expansive, Mr. Hodges?
Yes, of course. Mr. Pike, would you like to be a little more expansive?
No, thank you.
Yes, plans. Well, of course, the first thing we do is put back the missing bit.
I see.
Have you any plans for the pier theatre?
Oh, yes, indeed we have. Yes, we're going to have chorus girls, big girls, you know. Big girls with big... doing a bit of dancing and all that.
It's very small, you know. I mean, we tried to do Cheech and Chong there just before the war, but as soon as we got even one tiny elephant on the stage, you couldn't move.
Really?
We did Dear Octopus instead.
An octopus can be quite big.
Be quiet, Frank. I think the message is pretty obvious. Think small.
We could get Arthur Askey.
I like him. Can you hear me, Mother?
No. That's Sandy Powell. Arthur Askey's the little chap who says, I hang you, and does that bee song.
Oh, yes. How does it go now? Come on, Arthur, I bet you know it.
Well, yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Come on, then, let's hear it.
Come on, Uncle Arthur.
All right, if you and all insist, yes. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be, a healthy grown-up, busy bee, whiling away all the passing hours, pinching from the pollen from the call, it's
us. Yes, I think we
Is ever so good, Uncle Arthur?
Nothing, really, nothing at all.
What else did you have in mind, Mr. Hodges?
Well, a lick of paint wouldn't do any harm, and, yes, I know, boat trips. I'm going to get those going again, round the lighthouse, that sort of thing.
We haven't got a lighthouse.
Ah. Well, if we ever build one, we'll be ready for it. And, of course, we'll reinstate Madame Zara, the gypsy fortune teller, if we can find her.
Well, that shouldn't be difficult. She works for the council in forward planning.
Yes. Well, I tell you, gentlemen, by the time we finish, this town will be proud of that pier.
I'm pleased to hear it.
Now, look, as borough treasurer, I think I should perhaps be talking to you about finance.
Well, I'll hand you over to my financial advisor, Mr. Wilson.
What? Oh, yes, far away.
Well, Arthur, you're aware of the purchase price, I take it?
Oh, £5,000, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Well, it does seem an awful lot of money.
No chance of us making an offer, is there, four and a half for cash? After all, there is an hole in it.
We've already written the cheque out.
Shut up, Frank.
I'm afraid not.
Oh, well, as my associate has just said, we've taken the liberty of writing the cheque. £5,000 payable to Framborne Borough Council.
What a coincidence. We've already prepared the necessary papers, transferring the pier to yourselves. So, if you'd just like to add your signature...
Righto. Here it goes, then. Oh, crikey.
What's the matter?
The pen's run out. Lend me yours, would you, Mr. Wilson?
I'd rather not, if you don't mind. I don't like lending people my fountain pen. It makes the nib go all funny.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Come on, Uncle Arthur, lend it to him. Or I'll tell Mum.
Oh, very well.
There you are.
Ta, very much. There.
My turn now. Here, you've used up all the space. I can't do a flourishy signature.
Just put a cross. No one will know the difference.
That's nice. That is in. That's very nice. Thank you. There you are.
Well, gentlemen, if you're finished, what about a little tipple to cement the transaction?
Good idea. What do you all have, chaps?
I'll have a gin and tonic, if I may.
Right you are, Mr. Hodges.
A gin and tonic, please.
Mr. Pike.
Have you got any orange?
You want gin and orange?
No, just orange.
Is he right?
Yes, well done.
What about that, then, Mr. Wilson? We made it. Framborne Pier is mine.
And mine?
Oh, yes,
well, it will be yours, Frank, in 15 years' time, when you've paid off the loan.
Oh, don't you worry. The bank will get its money back. After all, you know my reputation.
Yes, that's what worries me.
Here, oh, God, yes.
I hear we are, gentlemen. Two gins and tonics.
Oh, thank you very much.
Indeed. And
thank
one
you.
Orange squash.
Lovely. You haven't got a straw, have you?
Well, now, perhaps on this auspicious occasion, we should propose a toast.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, good idea.
Dear yes, Mr. Hodges, it feels good owning something as big as a pier, doesn't it?
You're right, Pikey, it certainly does.
Gentlemen, I give you the new owners of Framborne Pier.
Yes, indeed. To Swallow's Bank.
To Swallow's Bank.
Hey, just a minute. Hold on a minute.
Been listening to It Sticks Out Half a Mile, starring John LeMessurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges. The characters of Wilson, Pike, and Hodges were originally created by Jimmy Perry and David Koch. Also in the cast were Vivian Martin as Miss Perkins, Edward Burnham as Mr. Short, Robin Parkinson as Mr. Hunter, Gordon Peters as Mr. Rawlings, and Spencer Banks as council employee. It Sticks Out Half a Mile was written by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles, and produced by Martin Fisher.